We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm Clay Link here with RotoWire.com's lead prospect analyst, James Anderson. James, good to be talking with you. This is our first live broadcast. We're live, pal. I'm still getting used to StreamYard, but good to be talking live on the show. Are you in an attic right now?
Hell yeah. Is this
your new attic?
Yeah. This is the first ever podcast in my new house too. So a lot of firsts today. So excited.
Congratulations, man. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks. Yeah. I have this whole length of my house, this attic is. So it looks like I'm in a tunnel probably.
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of a cool look, honestly, behind you. It looks like you're in like a sort of aircraft carrier or something. But I checked on the RotoWire official Twitter feed, and it does look like we're live. So everything seems to be running. Again, we're live, pal. Trying my best here with StreamYard. It seems pretty easy, pretty intuitive, but I just wanted to be sure that everything was working correctly. Saw earlier today some great news that Shane McClanahan getting the call. And it sounds like, and I know Eric Neander had said this, but they view him as a starter. So I'm pretty excited to see Shane McClanahan. I know he debuted in the postseason last year, but his first regular season appearance tomorrow against the A's sounds like a true start, although we'll see. I mean, maybe he doesn't go 5+, but I think he can give them some length.
Yeah, I mean, this is your guy. I think Shane is probably one of the few prospects that you're sort of more on than I am probably. Mm. And I'm sure you've probably got him in some draft and holds and stuff like that.
So buyer beware.
Did you get him in labor or anything like that?
I got him in labor as a reserve. So I can't plug him in this week, but good to have him for future weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm excited as well. I think it's maybe 50-50, maybe even a little less than 50% chance that he goes a full five in this one, but I think they'll probably let him face the order twice if he's pitching well, and so maybe he qualifies for a win. But obviously, really electric stuff, big time fastball, can touch triple digits, and then he's got the two big breaking balls, which is probably enough for him to get through a lineup twice. The big thing for him is just going to be the command. I mean, if he's commanding his pitches, he should definitely have success, but that's a part of his game that he's been working on here for a couple of years now. So I'm excited. I don't have him anywhere, but should be a fun debut for him.
Yeah, we'll see. I know the postseason little sample wasn't all that great in terms of results, but the stuff is really good. In the spring, you know, you can't take away a whole lot from a spring sample, but he did look good. And again, Eric Neander was talking him up as a starter, and they really emphasized in that interview I saw. You know, after I did the Labor broadcast, I had to watch McClanahan against Pivetta the next day. And or maybe it was 2 days later, but I remember riding high on Pivetta versus McClanahan after Labor. I was sky high on that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It seems like maybe the first of the next wave coming. And Kirilloff, of course, up. And I've seen some hard hit balls off the bat, but he can't seem to save that team. I mean, the Twins, I didn't realize until yesterday just how bad they've been. I do expect them to be better, the Twins, in time, but you know, a lot of kind of pressure on Kirilloff right off the bat to kind of help turn this team around. He's been batting fifth against righties. I guess he batted ninth against a lefty the other day.
Well, he batted fifth primarily against righties the last five games. He's in the lineup today, hitting ninth against a lefty. So just encouraging to see that he's a true everyday player for them, at least so far. And yeah, I think he's been a little unlucky on some balls in play, but I mean, he'll be fine. And I think the Twins will be fine too. I mean, they've just had kind of a weird start to the year with health and obviously the Alex Colome problem and just the availability and the COVID stuff with some of their guys. Like
self-inflicted Alex Colome wound.
Well, yeah, they didn't need to sign him, but they did. And now he's out. But I mean, I think the Twins are still going to probably get up to around 90 wins. I mean, I just think there's a ton of talent there. They've got more help on the way. Kirilloff, I mean, he should be rostered in all formats right now. I think you can start him confidently in all formats as well.
Nice. Yeah. I think what they're like 7-15 or something crazy. And that's with Byron Buxton playing at a MVP level. It's been crazy to watch. Maeda was a guy that I thought would be fine, but he does not seem to have slider command. He's been hanging these breaking pitches up. I don't know if you saw that one that friend Mel Reyes hit yesterday, but just an absolute crush job. So it's just nothing's going right for that team. Hopefully Kirilloff can help, and I do think he's got a pretty safe spot there. Do you have a choice on who closes for them? Do you think it's Taylor Rogers? I mean, I think that's the easy guess, but there might be some room for a right-handed complement to sneak in some saves.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Rogers for 85%+ of the chances.
Yeah, I have Hansel Robles. I picked him up and hoping I was hoping he could maybe sneak in some, but that's kind of doubtful. James, Pavin Smith. Man, we did not go hard enough in the main event. I did get him in a few leagues, but I've been liking what I'm seeing, and maybe we should have been more aggressive on Pavin Smith last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think he went for 65 in ours. In hindsight, I would have liked to have gotten 66, but just, you know, I've got him in plenty of other leagues as well, but I mean, we could probably use him in our main more than I can use him in some of these other places I have him. And just seems like he's really settling in, and he's been leading off for them for over a week. And that's even against same-handed pitching. So as long as he produces, I mean, and he's shown that he can play all over the field, I mean, they've been playing him in center field, which I think is something you would have never expected back when he got drafted 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it just seemed like he was first base, left field only. So, I mean, this new defensive versatility that he's showing, the contact skill, I mean, there might even be a little bit more room there for him to up the walk rate. So In 15 team leagues, I think he's got to be really appealing right now, just given where he's hitting in the order and the fact that he qualifies at outfield and first base. First base particularly has been kind of a black hole, especially if you went cheap at that position in draft. So, yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed by him. I probably should have had him ranked higher as a prospect, but it's been a really nice start to the year for him.
It has, and I think there may be some room for growth with the power too, because that was the one thing that kind of held him back on your rankings, right? I don't want to speak for you, but that was kind of noticeably absent throughout his time in the minors. And I mean, I know he hit one homer. I just think there's a possibility he adds more because, while the ball, they said they intended to dejuice it, it's still a heightened offensive environment right now, and a heightened, at least in terms of home runs and scoring, not so much in terms of batting average, but I do think Pavin Smith can add some pop there too. I guess the blow on losing out on Pavin Smith in the main was softened, James, by adding Kyle Higashioka. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, we were able to sneak him through, and
$4.
I think he's going to be someone whose roster percentage just continues to climb in the main event, because we had that news yesterday of Aaron Boone basically saying that Higashioka needs more playing time. He's earned it, and he looks like the better catcher there, especially when you factor in the defense behind the plate. But even just offensively, I mean, I think he's given more competitive at bats than Gary has been. So, hoping that Higashioka can just kind of continue to wrestle more and more playing time away. I mean, I think, man, it'd be a lot easier if they didn't have multiple DHs on the team as well. But I mean, I just think this Yankees team can't really mess around anymore, and they probably just got to play their best guys.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody on Twitter mentioning maybe he's going for 100+ in mains this coming weekend. I can see it. I mean, because I think you got to view him as the number one now in the Bronx, because Gary's, I mean, he's got a sub 200 average since, 2019, or I don't know the exact stat, but combine the low batting average with the issues behind the plate, it seems like Higashioka's a player to own, to roster there. And we caught a break there. We haven't been getting much production from our catchers. We thought we caught a break with Luis Torrens, but that experiment didn't last long. And didn't, you know, we'd probably have been better off taking a zero than starting Luis Torrens.
Yeah, he was worth negative fantasy value for us while he was on the roster. So good to get him out of there.
I think it was Eddie Almaguer who was saying you should just take some zeros there. A lot of these catchers have been net negatives, and it's hard to know. Yeah, but maybe when you're really getting to the bottom there, instead of turning to somebody like that, you should. Like I have in labor, I have Martin Maldonado, James, and that has been killing me. Martin Maldonado, I thought, oh, you know, $1 catcher in AL, and that won't be too bad. He has been crushing my team, and those are the kind of little decisions that in deep leagues make a huge difference. Now, James, Pedro Leon, by the way, I don't know if you can hear it. Do you hear that, like, jet flying above me?
It's the same jet that's flying above me.
Oh, wow.
It's been super quiet here since I moved in, and then right when we start recording, it seems like there's, like, an aircraft show going on above us.
Well, I had the lawnmower incident a few weeks ago. Now I have this jet that seems louder to me than maybe it does to the listeners. But James, Pedro Leon, what can you tell us about him, and why is his buzz kind of mounting right now?
Well, I've been high on him, like dating back to the off season, but mostly that was just based on, you know, some limited video I saw, and just really liking the swing and really liking the contact rates that he'd put up in Cuba and everything. And I know, I mean, there'd just been a varying reports in terms of what his speed was going to grade out at. I was sort of assuming he'd be, I mean, this was probably back in like January. I was sort of assuming he'd be a left fielder for them. Just a guy that was going to mash and hit for average. But Jim Callis had a report yesterday saying that he's grading out as a 70 grade runner. And so you can kind of take my, where I had him ranked. I think I had him ranked like right around 100, just inside the top 100 back when the magazine was published. And then he's up in the 70s now. But that, all those rankings were me just kind of assuming he was going to be a 50, 55 grade runner, wasn't going to chip in a ton on the bases. But I mean, I'm not necessarily going to take it as gospel that he's a 70 grade runner, but if he's just a 60 grade runner, that just makes him all the more appealing. I mean, he might be a five category guy, a legitimate one, and they're trying him out at shortstop and he's going to be splitting. Sounds like 80% of his starts are going to come at shortstop, 20% in center field. While he's in the minors, he's going to open at double A. And so they also said he had an 80 grade arm, which again, I'm not taking that as gospel, but I mean, it sounds like he's got the physical tools to play all over the diamond. So whenever he's ready, there'll be a spot for him. And I certainly think that if he was ready at some point this season, it would be pretty easy to find at bat for him in that outfield right now. Cause I mean that they haven't been getting a ton of production out of a couple of those spots. So Pedro Leon, just a guy that, I mean, if you got him back in first year player draft season, well done. And someone who I'd maybe think about trying to trade for before he debuts. I mean, the big question is just how he's going to hit in his first taste of stateside pitching. And there might be a bit of a learning curve there. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, there is still some risk here. We just, you never know how these guys are going to adjust to pitching at double A, triple A, the majors. I mean, he didn't have a great spring training statistically. So, that's still to be determined, but if he goes out and he hits at double A and he's making contact at a high clip and hitting for a decent average, I mean, I think the stock is really going to soar. So, just that's a guy that, you know, when I do my update to the top 400 in a few weeks, you know, if he's performing, he could be inside the top 50 in a hurry.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning Instant Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Nice. I like to think I have my ear to the ground a little bit, James. AKA, I spend way too much time on Twitter. Listen to too many like podcasts and whatnot. But I just hadn't really caught on to that buzz. So, you know, normies like me still sleeping on Pedro Leon. So now may be a time where you can get him before, you know, it may seem obvious to a guy like James that the buzz is kind of mounting and now's the time to get him, but not to everyone. James, Bobby Bradley, I mean, I don't know how much longer Cleveland can wait on this guy, but does it matter for our purposes? Like, is he a pickup or is Bobby Bradley not going to be able to hit enough for that power to really play? Like, I have major concerns about the hit tool.
Well, his spring was just so impressive. Like, he improved across the board. Like, everything you'd want to see him do, he was doing this spring. And, I mean, they're getting, you know, you talk about taking a zero at catcher rather than getting negative production. Cleveland's getting negative production at first base, no matter who they put there right now. And Bradley's defense is seemingly better. I mean, it's not going to be a strength of his, but he lost a lot of weight and he's in really good shape by his standards right now. And I mean, nobody's expecting this guy to have a plus hit tool or anything, but I think we know kind of what these other guys are. Like, I don't really get it with Josh Naylor. I just don't know why he just seemingly just gets these endless opportunities. Obviously, he's not a good defender really anywhere, and he doesn't hit for enough power to profile at the places where he can play defensively. So I don't really get it with Josh Naylor. Obviously, Jake Bowers is even worse. Yu Chang's even worse. Really, it's basically been Jordan Luplow and Eddie Rosario have been the only productive outfielders on that team. So I want to see Daniel Johnson as well. And to a lesser extent, Bradley Zimmer. So I look at Cleveland, I look at all the places where they're just getting negative production from the guys that they are relying on right now. And it just seems like it's got to be soon that they turn to some other options. And any flaws that Bobby Bradley has, at least he can hit for enough power to play first base. I don't think any of the other guys they have on the roster can. And I know that his defense isn't going to be great there, but first base is just a complete wasteland if you're in a 15-teamer or deeper league and you're looking to upgrade there. Like, Pavin Smith, he's gone. Like, you're not getting him anymore. And so, to me, Bobby Bradley is kind of that next guy where I would be interested, because we absolutely know the power is monstrous, and he could be a 30-plus homer guy if he just hits, like, 240. And I think that the strides he made this offseason and what he showed the spring training, I think that that's a possibility. So it's not necessarily about being sky high on Bobby Bradley and especially his hit tool, but it's just looking at the other options they have. Like, I honestly don't know why he's not up right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't mean to pick on Josh Naylor, but I keep thinking about the Pete Rose line about how he left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick him up. WrestleMania 14, and then Kane came out, the big red machine Kane, and Tombstone, Pete Rose. Classic WrestleMania moment. But Naylor had one of those where it was just a soft dribbler right to him at first base and just right under his glove. Cleveland lost that game. Emmanuel Clase had it closed out. But yeah, can't play first, Naylor, and not very good in the outfield either. So, and we know about Jake Bowers. I mean, I'm surprised he's still on the team.
Wasn't it Josh Naylor who misplayed a ball the other day so badly that Nelson Cruz got a triple?
Yes, that's right. Actually, that was, yeah, that's true. He did kind of hit it like right off the, right inside the yellow line on the wall. It was kind of a tough bounce, but yeah, Nelson Cruz had a triple. Surprised he didn't hit for the cycle after that, because I think that was in like the first inning. James, I have you to thank for Ryan Weathers. Man, he's been great. And picked him up in Tout Wars head-to-head. I thought – I got him for like 24 out of 1,000. It is a 12-team league, but that was just last weekend. I thought there'd be more – I fully expected to get outbid on Ryan Weathers, and I'm looking at this matchup drooling today. But you mentioned, and this was wise of you to point out, that Arizona actually has the best WRC plus in the majors against lefties. So kind of actually a bigger test for Weathers than I maybe thought last weekend.
Yeah. I started Weathers in every league I have him in except one this week where I opted to start a pitcher for the Rockies remain nameless.
I'm sorry for steering us down, and to all you out there on the two star. I
wanted to kind of point this out just so like obviously I love Ryan Weathers, like, you know, I've been pumping him up for a while. I hope that you were able to get him in at least some of your leagues. But this is a tougher matchup, at least based on what Arizona's done so far this season. I mean, it's been like a little over 200 plate appearances, but their BABIP against lefties is under 300, and they've still been doing this much damage. I don't really know how they're doing it. I don't look at that lineup and see a bunch of lefty killers sitting there, but for whatever reason, they've had a lot of success against southpaws so far this year. So while we're not really scared of any of the players in that lineup necessarily, just know that, I mean, this is another legitimate test for Weathers. So, I mean, if he has another big outing, obviously he's beaten up on the Dodgers so far. So, I mean, I certainly think he's capable of having another really strong showing, especially against a team that hasn't seen him yet. But this would be a big test for him. So just kind of keep that in mind when you're watching Weathers tonight. And if he struggles, don't freak out about it. Most lefties have really struggled against this offense for whatever reason. So should be a fun test.
Yeah, but this is a guy just to hold outright in all leagues, you think?
Oh, yeah.
This is a bump in the road today. Yeah, man, youngest starter in the bigs, and he's more than held his own so far. And yeah, good thing he's not facing the Dodgers, because obviously last two, but it does seem like every outing has been against them. But he's passed that test with flying colors. Hopefully he can tame the juggernaut that is the Arizona Diamondbacks against lefties. Jazz, the IL was a heartbreaker for me, especially in stake league where I'm slipping and now I lose Jazz, and tough to see, but you know, just really a big loss for the game of baseball, because he is an emerging star, Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, and it's kind of extra annoying for people like me, because he was about two games away from getting up over 130 at bats. So he'll be sticking around the top 400. Possibly, you know, I hope he is able to get back here in a hurry, but I mean, this is the type of injury where it could be 2-3, maybe even more than 3 weeks. I don't know. I hope he's back in early to mid May. That definitely could be the case. I ended up taking some questions for the show today, since we are going live, and one of the first ones I got was from Kale Loken, who wanted us to know where Jazz might go in startup dynasty drafts next off season. You know, a lot is going to change either for the better or the good with Jazz over the rest of the season. Like, it's going to be hard to sort of predict where this goes. I mean, like he could be a top 15 pick overall in like a startup dynasty draft next off season if he just kind of comes back from this injury and picks up where he left off. I mean, I don't think the batting average is going to be around 300 or anything like that, but even if he just hits like 270 the rest of the way or 265 the rest of the way, all of a sudden he's going to be kind of looking like, I don't know, a younger Trevor Story. So there's a ton of upside if he can kind of pick up where he left off when he comes back from the injury. There's also some downside that, you know, maybe the league gets another look at him and starts to make some adjustments. And, you know, he has had his issues with strikeouts at times in the minor leagues. So maybe he finishes the year with like a 240 average or maybe even like a 235 average. Like that's still in play. I don't think that that's likely. And I think that even if that happened, I mean, he could still go 2020 pretty easily, especially just given the stats he's already banked. So definitely a top 100 pick in a startup dynasty draft, probably a top 50 pick in a startup dynasty draft, because while I have him behind a few guys like CJ Abrams and Bobby Witt who haven't debuted, when people do these startup dynasty drafts, there's always a majority of drafters who are looking for guys that are going to help them win from opening day on. So a guy like Jazz is going to go above a lot of these big name guys who haven't debuted yet, just based on the fact that he's ready to help right now. So I would guess probably in the 20 to 50 range is where he'll go in a startup dynasty next off season, but we'll see.
Yeah, dude, he's a lot of fun to watch, and we have a lot of other Twitter questions to get to that, as you mentioned, and we will get around to those. We talked about Shane McClanahan at the top of the show. Good to see he's getting the call to the bigs. I was thinking the other day about Kelnick. I'm just, you know, we'll get to those questions here in a second. I know people don't want to hear me wax poetic about Kelnick, but I was thinking how crazy it would be like if he just like walked away and signed some one-year deals overseas, because this is, I know the team's not bad, but it is like he should win a grievance. He should have like a lawsuit on his hands here, because the fact that he's not up is just absurd. I'm sorry to go on and on about this, but let's go. I got Kelnick just rotting on the bench. It hurts, James. And Ian Khan's trying to tempt me to trade him in labor. And now's a good time because people are getting a little anxious. And people probably even thinking about maybe dropping him. So
I don't like feeling or sounding like a broken record, but I mean, the last couple of weeks have basically just said be patient. So I'm going to keep saying
it's coming soon. Before we get to those Twitter questions, a quick note, actually a couple reads here. So bear with me here. Football season approaches, and you've got to check out these new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills since there's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team, and Underdog automatically credits you with your best performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just a draft. Who doesn't love drafting? In Underdog best ball, you can draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's best ball leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Once the season starts, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now to get in on some best ball before the season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in your app store and enter promo code ROTOWIRE. James, I know you're going to be hitting those NFL best ball drafts hard after the draft coming up. And then also from our friends at Champions Round, do you play fantasy football? Do you love the NFL draft? Well, you're in luck because Champions Round has created a fantasy game specifically for the NFL draft. Big Board Showdown. Playing is simply picking 12 prospects, stay on budget, and watch your team rack up points based on where they're selected. Download the Champions Round app and make your picks today. Hashtag you got next pick, James. So let's get to these Twitter questions. I don't know if this was the one you alluded to, but it. I'm sorry, I skipped down a few. That was the one about Jazz and the Dynasty startup. And then Joel Steen asks for a breakdown of Marco Luciano, whom he just acquired in trade. So why don't you pump Joel up and tell him how great he did?
Yeah. Marco Luciano, I mean, that kind of my line on him for about a year is just like he's going to be a 40 homer shortstop. And those don't come around very often at all. That's the carrying tool of him. It's going to be his power. He's not going to be much of a threat on the bases, which is, you know, you always like to get a little bit of speed from your middle infielders, but that's not really going to be his game either. And then the big kind of question mark with him is just where the batting average, the hit tool kind of settle. I think given his power and given what he's shown in the lower levels, I think the walk rate will always be there, but it's just, you know, we'll see whether he's like a 280 hitter, a 260 hitter. You know, I mean, it's not like there's a no doubt shot that he's going to be like a 270 hitter. Like he could be worse than that, but the power is absolutely going to be the carrying tool. It's going to keep him in the middle of that lineup. It's going to be a really, really good Giants lineup for his prime years. They're building a juggernaut out there. I mean, they're turning all these kind of forgotten men into stud starting pitchers. They've just got a really well-oiled machine going on over there. So it's going to be a really good team that he's the shortstop for and maybe even like the cleanup hitter for. We'll find out probably a lot more about that hit tool this year when he gets more of a test. Hasn't really faced the greatest pitching yet, especially in the minors. So, I'm really interested to see how he does with strikeouts this year and just kind of where that ends up settling. But if he maxed out, he could be a first round pick, or at least kind of a end of the first, beginning of the second round pick, even as a guy that's not going to steal double digit bases. So, I mean, there's just a ton of upside here because of that power, but still kind of to be determined on where the rest of it settles.
Dan Corrado, friend of the pod, had a few questions. One of them I know was about the RotoWire polos, which, you know, the demand isn't all that hot for, but maybe we can get Dan a RotoWire polo. Any catcher targets or strategies in dynasty leagues, James?
Well, in one catcher dynasty leagues, I think you just see what's out there on waivers in the, you know, every year I'm just kind of, you know, what's out there. Maybe I can hit on the next kind of pop-up guy. But I'm definitely not devoting resources to the position. Like I'm not trading for a good catcher just because I don't have a good catcher, at least unless you're to the point where you're really serious about winning your league. In two catcher leagues, I think that's what Dan's referring to because he mentioned he's got Gomes and Grandal. I mean, you kind of want to make sure you got two guys who aren't negative value pieces for you. Like, catcher is just always the position that I am devoting the least amount of resources to, unless it's just a situation where I've got everything else figured out and I'm really competing strongly with a couple other really good teams And that's one area where I could really boost my big league club. Maybe I would trade a solid prospect for an upgrade there. But I mean, really, you're kind of punting there until you're really serious about winning your league. It's just there's so much attrition at that position. There's so much risk with like the guys like Adley Rutschman that come along like every decade or every 15 years. Like you can feel pretty good about them, but even that next step down, like the Joey Bart types, just not guys that have a very high hit rate. And so I don't think you want to be loading up on catching prospects. I mean, that's definitely not something I would be doing. I would be trying to trade catching prospects at every turn. But I mean, maybe Kyle Higashioka is the guy that's out there, even in Dynasty.
Yeah, just pick up Higashioka.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a guy that I would look for, especially in two catcher leagues. You know, I mean, the whole key is you don't want a guy that's actively hurting your team. And I think Higashioka will see how much of that job he can wrangle away from Sanchez. But I think I doubt he's going to go out there and like hit 200 the rest of the year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Dan also was wondering about Plesac. I'm kind of wondering what the heck I'm going to do with him as well. But in Dynasty, can you even move this guy? Or like, is there anything actionable here? Or do you just have to kind of wait and see? Or maybe sell low?
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to selling low if someone was aggressively coming at me trying to get him. But I don't. Like the last thing you want to do is like let your league know that you're looking to trade Plesac. Mm-hmm. You want someone to come
kill your leverage,
right? Yeah. So I just think you ride it out. It's really helpful to be lucky in fantasy sometimes, and I did not end up with as much Zach Plesac as I wanted during draft season. I only got him on one team. And so I just kind of got lucky with that. And thankfully, Todd Whitestone wanted no part of him in our leagues that we co-manage in the NFBC. So thankfully that steered us away from him. And I don't think you were very high on him either, so we didn't get him in the main. So I got kind of lucky there with my partners talking me out of him. But
I mean, I did like Plesac, just I wasn't as high as some others, but I actually did end up with him in a few leagues. But I'm glad that you were there to talk some sense into me in our main.
Yeah, team. But I mean, I started Plesac in his last start in the league I do have him because I just, like, I'm starting all my struggling starting pitchers for the most, like Kyle Hendricks, I'm still just starting everywhere. I don't know what else you do. Like if you're benching guys like that this early in the year, I think it's tough. Like, I think you just got to ride it out with Plesac. On the next Dynasty update, that'll probably be, I'm hoping to have one done kind of around June 1st and then another one done, about a week before the trade deadline. I know some Dynasty leagues kind of use the MLB trade deadline as their trade deadline, so I want to get a second update done before then. But the next update will probably be around June 1st. And part of the reason I'm doing it then, like, I know that it's my job to make the tough decisions and stuff like that, but I just doing a Dynasty update like right now in late April, I just think would potentially do more harm than good. Because it's the worst time in the calendar to be valuing players and to be making buy low, sell high types of trades unless you're just extremely confident on a certain player. And I mean, there are players like that. Like I've been trying to buy low on Dansby Swanson places. And like there are certain guys like that where you're just very confident that a player is much better than they've been so far. But part of the reason I'm waiting until June 1st is because I don't have that level of confidence with certain players. Zach Plesac is one of those. So I'm going to be able to get to see what he does over his next six or seven starts before I have to rank him again. So I don't know where he's going to end up. If I was doing the rankings right now, I mean, he wouldn't be inside the top 100, that's for sure. But there's a chance that he could still be well inside the top 100 if he kind of rights the ship here over the next 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I remember feeling so good about a league where I was coming out of it. I'd waited on starting pitching, came out of it with Maeda Plesac 4-5. Thought I was killing it. That's not great. We'll see, though. We're looking forward to that next update, James. Where do you think Vladdy Daddy's going to fall on that next update? By June, I mean, he could be number one. You know.
I love that
three-homer game, man. Oh, God. That didn't move the needle for me as much as I thought it would in some leagues.
It helped me out a lot. And I really enjoyed checking the standings a lot more last night than I did Sunday night or Monday night, I should say.
Gomber, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Vlad, obviously, just, you know, to the moon, value through the roof.
Love that guy, man. What a stud. I mean, that one, the first one against Scherzer was just so beautiful. And then he had one to each field, too. It was just, I mean, the time is now.
They were all super grooved pitches, but yeah, it was a great performance nonetheless.
Now Michael Patrick has a good question here. He wonders, is it a time right now for a rebuilder in the dynasty league to give up on Willy Adames, Clint Frazier, and or Nick Senzel and give those roster spots to players with more upside? I'd say Willy Adames maybe, but the other two I'd lean no. But go ahead, James.
Yeah, I was curious for your take on Senzel, but the line about try to drop these guys for someone with more upside, I mean, of course you can probably find someone with more upside than Willy Adames. I don't think you're going to find someone with more upside than Clint Frazier, like just on the waiver wire. Like Clint Frazier, to me, his ceiling is still sky high. He's had a really brutal start to the year, but like, I still think Clint Frazier can be a 35 homer or 35 plus homer type of hitter. If he's playing every day and he's dialed in. So
it's certainly not the guy you drop outright, you know?
Right.
I mean unless you're making a 12 team, and even then I wouldn't want to drop the guy without getting something back.
Maybe if he's just been on your bench for the past 2 weeks, and I can't even think of like who a player I would drop him for that would be out there even in a really shallow league, but
Pavin Smith. I wouldn't do that. I like Pavin Smith, but I would not drop Clint Frazier for him.
Yeah, I still like Clint Frazier a lot long term. And yeah. Think you got to be patient there. Willy Adames, sure, yeah, you can move on from him if you want in a shallow league. I don't think there's some sort of upside with Adames where he could come back and haunt you. Mm-hmm. But I'd be curious your take on Nick Senzel, because I know you and I have kind of been lower on him for a while than a lot of people, but I don't know how much is there to kind of keep believing in. But what have you seen from Senzel?
You know, he seems like he's just two steps away, perpetually two steps away from like putting it together. Like he'll show some flashes with some hard hit balls, but they'll be into gloves, and then he could just never build on that, on quality batted balls. And I think you got to probably hold him, but you know, I'm thinking about in the SiriusXM Dynasty League last weekend, I dropped like $404 on Adolis Garcia because he was still out there. 15-team Dynasty League. I'm thinking like if I were in a shallower league, like a 12 Adolis Garcia, maybe I'd drop Senzel for him. I don't think that's that crazy. I mean, it's just been like, you know, parts of 3 years now where we haven't seen it. And, you know, I was playing MLB The Show, James. I know you want to hear about this, but they have Senzel's speed as a 90. And I was like, what? a 90. Then I looked and, you know, he does really have good sprint speed numbers. Maybe he's just like, maybe when the weather heats up, he'll get going, but we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's yet to manifest in terms of production on the field. So would you drop Adolis Garcia, or would you drop Senzel for Adolis Garcia?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think if I was as high on Adolis Garcia as you are, I would. I'm just not as high on him as, like, I'd.
Well, I just needed an outfielder desperately. And as, again, 15-team league, that's why I spent 400-plus on him.
I would,
but I do like him.
I would probably, I mean, Paven Smith versus Nick Senzel is interesting. I think ideally you want to just be able to hold Senzel for, just give him another year, like give him the rest of the season and just sort of see what happens. Cause I mean, he was the number 2 overall pick and he's got speed. He's got some pop that he's not really consistently gotten to. So I wouldn't want to drop him outright. But I mean, I think the time to maybe move on from Nick Senzel was this past off season when lots of people were still kind of banging that drum.
Yeah, man, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, the Jesse Winker full breakout does seem to be here. Another good one here from the Ulysses sect. Gavin Lux, Jazz Chisholm, Nick Solak, rest of season and long term. How would you rank those guys?
I would still take Jazz rest of season, even knowing that you're going to have to find a placeholder here for the next 3 weeks. I just think, he's going to probably steal, let's just say he misses like 3 weeks here. I mean, he's probably going to steal 25 to 30 bases this year with 25 homers. I don't know how you're matching that production from the other two. And I think I'd probably take Jazz long term as well over the other two. And it might have been the Ulysses sect who asked this too, but just like someone was like, what do you do with Gavin Lux? Gavin Lux, he's been bad. The results have been bad. He's still hasn't reached 200 big league at bats. So and they've been spread across 3 seasons. So it's just, I kind of look at him as just the ultimate buy low target. And I think Nick Solak, conversely, might be the ultimate sell high piece. And if I had Nick Solak, I would maybe just offer him straight up to Gavin Lux in Dynasty and just sort of see what happens, because you might get the Lux owner just kind of sick of putting up with this. You know, it's been 3 years now. Like, when am I going to get that production? And then you look down at what Nick Solak's done through 4 weeks, and it's like, well, that's kind of what I wanted Gavin Lux to do. So maybe I'll just take the guy who's doing it right now. And so I think you might be able to pull that offer off in some leagues. So that's something I would look at. Solak to me still, the plate skills are kind of iffy even with this hot start to the year. And he's got a sneaky sprint speed as well. Sprint speed isn't the be all end all of stealing bases, but it's kind of amazing to me that Solak is that fast and that bad in the field. It's kind of a unique combination. But I think I'd probably go Solak over Lux rest of season, just because there's no chance of Solak losing out on playing time at this point, just given how hot his start has been. And the Dodgers just have endless options if Lux were to slump a little bit. And I mean, they could at least sit him against some lefties. So I like Lux more than Solak long term for sure. I would do that in a heartbeat, but rest of season I'd probably take Solak. So Lux would be last for me of those three rest of season.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say Lux over Solak, but you're right. I mean, it's been stop and start for Lux. He hasn't gotten it going, and so many options on that team. He's been injured, and any sort of future health concern. They can give them 10 days, no problem. They got an embarrassment of riches, guys that can plug in. Patrick wanted to know, could we see Tristan Casas in Boston this year, James?
I don't think it's completely off the table. I think he's just had such a big developmental past, like 18 months or so, none of which we really have tangible data to point to back it up. But I mean, just kind of all the reports regarding what Casas did at the alt side last year and spring training and everything this year, you know, he's certainly made a ton of strides, and I could see him really having no trouble against double A pitching this year, and then maybe kind of cruising through triple A as well and just forcing his way onto the big league roster. But I think that there's maybe like a 10 to 15% chance of that happening. And it's much more likely that we're talking about him as someone that we see very early in 2022.
Tool Z wanted to know, Akil Baddoo or Jaron Duran the rest of the season? Duran, I didn't even know Duran was doing anything.
Well, there's a lot of buzz around Duran being a potential call up in May, at least from Red Sox fans and people that roster Jaron Duran and Dynasty. I know that they'd all love to see it.
And Akil Baddoo has hit the skids, of course, 4 for his last 31.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty predictable. But I think it's just kind of team context dependent. Like, if whichever one of these guys you're rostering, if you're just stashed them on your bench, you don't really care about what they do next week, then I would take Duran just because he's got probably a higher ceiling once he's up, just given the speed. But if you're in a position where having someone that you can plug in is useful and you don't have just a crazy stacked outfield right now, I'd probably go Baddoo. So it just kind of depends whether you're talking about someone that you might need some production out of in the next week or two, then it's Baddoo. But if it's just a pure sort of stash upside play, then Duran.
And then finally, before we get to our picks for walk-up songs this week, Jason Jablonski asked, sell on maybe Trevor Rogers, TJ Antone in Dynasty? I'd say no on Rogers. I wouldn't want to sell high. But I could see maybe Antone if you're not competing this year. I do think over the rest of the season, it will get a good amount of saves and be really valuable. But, you know, in some of those longer relief outings, he did lose steam later in the outing. And I did kind of see why maybe the Reds didn't really see him as a starter, because he definitely was something where he lost steam after three or so innings. So I'd love to see him as a starter long term. It could happen, but I do not hate, especially if you're like, you know, things aren't really looking good and you're thinking about maybe selling off. I don't hate the idea of selling off Antone in a dynasty league.
Yeah, I would echo everything you said about Antone. And
I mean, he's great. I mean, he's so nasty, but yeah, I mean, doing it as a starter over six innings regularly is a different story.
I just don't know what the offers are. Like, I have no idea what Trevor Rogers' trade value would be right now. Like, it's, I mean, I could see how, I mean, you could talk yourself into him being like a top 15 pitcher for Dynasty. Yeah. You know?
You're too modest, but you, man, you were the MVP on Trevor Rogers. Thank you from everybody in the fantasy community. Thank you, James. I speak for everybody.
Well, I guess I don't know what type of offers would be out there. Sort of like, if you want to send me like a specific, like somebody offered me this for Trevor Rogers, maybe someone's just, you know, that high on him, like just so irrationally high on him for like any young pitcher that they're offering you just a crazy offer that you almost have to take or something like that. I mean, I could see that being the case, but it's definitely not something where, and I retweeted, T-Dubs had a good tweet the other day about like Jazz Chisholm and just the idea of like selling high on him. With guys like Jazz and with Trevor Rogers specifically on the pitching side, it's not, you shouldn't be like updating your trade block and saying like taking offers on Trevor Rogers or something like that. Or I wouldn't waste your time with that aspect of it. But if someone just comes to you unsolicited and gives you a godfather offer, I mean, at the end of the day, he is still a pitcher, and you know, most young pitchers will inevitably break our heart via an injury at some point. So I could see just someone having so much FOMO on Trevor Rogers in the Dynasty League that they make you a stupid offer that you like have to take, just given the inherent risk of pitchers. But I mean, if he stays healthy, he's going to be an absolute stud and probably a guy that is going, you know, inside the top 100 next year if he stays on this pace. So,
oh yeah, I think if you're redrafting today, he goes inside the top 100.
Does he go like inside the top 75?
Probably goes inside the top 50 because somebody spazzes out.
Well, he's
great.
He's so good. It's like he hasn't he outdueled Burns and DeGrom?
Yeah, this year already. What a monster!
Now, man. Like I know he wasn't like maybe technically better than DeGrom in that start, but I mean he got the win.
Okay. Yeah, that's all that matters. Man. Pitcher wins. I honestly didn't really realize that there were comments here until just recently, but Laces Out said someone offered him Higashioka for Antone. I'd probably hold Antone if that's the best offer you're getting. But I did not mean to ignore the chat. In future episodes, I will be, you know, responding to comments. If you got any, definitely feel free to weigh in. So, James, we are going to be drafting our walk-up songs. I think I gave you the first choice last week, so do you mind if I take first choice this week?
Absolutely, man.
All right. Well, this is maybe a repeat, maybe one that I chose for like collabs or commercial jams. I'm not even sure. Maybe it's fresh, not on any of our past playlists. But Skew It on the Barbie by Outkast featuring Raekwon. And I have all three guys on the team I drafted against you, James, last year. So it's kind of, maybe that's the one I use. But I don't know. Either way, Skew It on the Barbie, just that, you know, old school players and new school fools. Cats keep it jumping like kangaroos. I just want that playing up. That beat is incredible. Maybe the first few lines of Ray's verse, if whoever's lining up the music can make it happen. But Skew It on the Barbie is my choice this week.
Yeah, we've definitely used that track for something else. I can't remember what it was, but
I mean that's an all-time banger,
right? I mean, it anytime you can get some Outkast and Woo overlap, that's
one I'm sure has been used before, right? Like somebody in Atlanta probably used it.
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, I feel like. Like I'm more surprised than anything when I hear a good walk-up song. Like it's just you don't hear them that often.
For a long time, I really liked, even though he was a Cub, I liked Kyle Schwarber because I think it was Crossroads was his walk-up song by Bone Thugs when he was a rookie or second year guy. That's a good one. I don't know. It doesn't really fit baseball, I guess, but I mean that's a jam.
Wasn't it Zach McKinstry whose stock took a big hit when he acknowledged which songs he was debating about?
Oh yeah. Cause like two of the four were Creed tracks.
That was a tough one. Cause it's, you don't know if he's like joking around or if he's serious, but
See, I would take this as serious business if I were a player. Obviously,
right.
I'm not.
Right. I mean, very, very serious. Maybe maybe that's why – it's one of the reasons why we're not in the bigs.
Yeah, one of them.
Be spending hours picking out the perfect walk-up track.
Yeah, the person responsible for that, like, playing it would be so annoyed by me. They'd be, like, texting them and emailing. I'm like, oh, can I get this song? But what you got this week, James?
I'm going to go to the West Coast for the first time.
Mm.
I think all three of mine have been East Coast so far, which is typically where I'm going to be hanging out for most of these. But, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on the West Coast for walk-up tracks as well. And I'm going to go with Mac 10, I believe, his first kind of big hit, Faux Life.
Wow, Mac Dime, huh?
Yeah, it's just got like a prototypical West Coast beat. And
what's the name of the song?
Faux Life. Faux Life.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I'm gonna have to listen to that right after the show.
Yeah, I mean, the first verse, Ice Cube is involved as well. First verse is just kind of where I'd want to start it off. And yeah, like I said, just kind of a perfect West Coast beat, some general kind of aggression, which I think is mostly what I'm looking for in a lot of these tracks. So
I had I liked the one I had last week, but maybe it was a little too chill. You know, I like the chill songs, but maybe I need to dial it up a little bit for my next.
Maybe our next playlist can be like songs to listen to when we're chilling
in the batting or those in the batting cage, maybe workout anthems. Well, good stuff, James. Anything else you want to mention today? By the way, Matt, wasn't Mac 10's nickname Mad Chicken Hawk? I think it was. Or he had an album called Mad Chicken Hawk.
Yeah. I mean, I think something along
with his discography here. Maybe I'm making that up, but for some reason I remember Mad Chicken Hawk, and that's and he signed briefly with Cash Money, Mac 10, for a while. Remember him showing up in some Cash Money videos? Like what? That's when they were losing Juvie and BG and whatnot.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Nice, man. Well, thank you all for all the insight. Thank you again. Since we're on StreamYard, I'm going to play this thing here. It's a little promo thing, and then end the broadcast. So thank you all for joining us. We'll be back live again next week around the same time, around 1:30 to 2 Central, 2:30 to 3 Eastern. So hope to see you then on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.